Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Love on them, and we're going to also celebrate them, which really leads into today's message that I want to preach to you guys today as we close out this series that we've been in called This Is Us. And this whole series has been about us discovering and knowing what our values are as a church. That's what this whole series has been about. It's been about values. And if you've watched the show, This Is Us is one of the most popular shows on TV. And one of the reasons why I believe that show stands apart from so many other shows on TV right now, excuse me, is because it is a show that emphasizes values. It is a show that is centered around values, family values, relationship values, friendship values, things of that nature. And I believe that that's really refreshing for our culture, because in our culture, there's not a lot of good values that are propagated in media and on social media and in work or wherever it may be. But that show stands apart. And I believe, more importantly, as believers and as the Bridge Church, God wants us to have values as a church. He wants us to have certain values that we hold to as the body of Christ and as believers. And so this whole series has been all about that. And if you've missed any part of it, I want to encourage you to download our app. You can listen to all the messages up there, or you can go to our website and check them out. But also, when you download our app, you'll be able to follow along with today's notes from today's sermon. So you can go ahead and do that. But today, I want to end today's this series talking about the seventh, or the sixth rather, value of our church, and that is we choose to honor. We choose to honor. Tell the person beside you, we choose to honor. That was the wrong person. They ain't say nothing. Say somebody, look at somebody else across the room and just say, we choose to honor. Amen. We're going to look at John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and there is where we're going to kind of pick up and gather this message today. Here's what it says. We got it for you on the screen as well. It says, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. And Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. And next he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. Peter says, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you will have no part of me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And one who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. And this is why he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12 says this, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. And truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. We choose to honor. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, because you are good and gracious. And we pray, God, that in this moment you would speak to our hearts, that you would stir us. I pray, God, that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, and everybody loudly said amen.
Amen.
Amen. We choose to honor. When you hear this word honor, many things may go through your mind. But in a biblical sense, the word honor simply means to respect or to treat as valuable. And I think this is such a critical sermon in this series and a critical value that we need to adopt as the people of God, Because in our day and time, what you see is a lack of honor. That people don't treat others with respect. That people don't treat others as if they are worth something, as if they are valuable, because they are. There is a deficiency when it comes to the honor department. You go to your job, you see a whole bunch of dishonor. In your family, it's a whole bunch of dishonor. Maybe in your neighborhood, there's a whole bunch of dishonor. And I think one of the biggest things that God wants us to do as a church family, as the Bridge Church, is that we would be a people who are known for honoring. That we would be a people who choose to honor. And when you see this passage of scripture here in John chapter 13, you see a powerful illustration of really what honor looks like. And as Jesus gathers with his disciples in this room and he's engaging in this Passover celebration, he's engaging in what we would know as communion, which we're going to take in a few moments. He prepares this time as he goes to the cross. He gathers with his disciples and has one last meal. And while doing so, he gives them this lesson on honor. And he gives them this lesson in honor, and he gives them an example of what it looks like. In other words, Jesus isn't just preaching a sermon, he's showing a sermon. He isn't just saying something, he's showing something. In this passage, we see Jesus showing honor. How is Jesus showing honor in this passage? By washing the feet of his disciples. By washing these nasty, crusty, stank feet of his 12 disciples. This is profound because in this first century context, you got to understand, they didn't have paved roads like we do. They had dirt roads, and they walked around with open-toed sandals. So can you imagine the elements that would be accumulated in between toes? Could you imagine the discoloration of the feet of people in this day and time? And could you imagine touching these feet? Could you imagine that? They got different colors. Some of them got a little athlete's foot. Got a little odor. They didn't have odor eaters back then. They didn't have fire sheets that you could just put in the shoes and stuff like that back then, y'all. Could you imagine how uncomfortable this task was? But yet Jesus performs this task and teaches them honor through this scene. And I believe that when we look at this passage of scripture here, not only do we see like honor on display, but I think Jesus is teaching us, as he's teaching his disciples, some truths about honor. And here's the first one. I think he's teaching us, number one, the way that we are to honor. If you're taking notes, that's the first point. The way that we are to honor. I want you to look at verses 4-5. It says this: so Jesus got up from supper. He got up from supper. He laid aside his outer clothing. Back in that time, oftentimes rabbis, Jesus was a rabbi, he was a teacher, but he was also God in flesh. He was the Messiah, but he was a rabbi as well. He was a teacher. And they would oftentimes wear these robes. They had two layers of clothing. They had this robe oftentimes that they would wear to denote the fact that they were, in fact, a rabbi. And so essentially, here's what we see happening. Here's what we see happening here. Jesus takes his outer clothing off. He takes a towel, and he ties it around himself. And the Bible says, next he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around them. Here's the significance of what Jesus is doing, because when we read this passage and these words here, we'll just kind of think like, okay, he took off his clothes, he put a towel around him, he poured some water in a basin, he started washing the disciples' feet. No. Here's the reason why this is so profound. Here's what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us a lesson when it comes to how we honor. He's teaching us about humility here. Because the only people that would wash the feet of other people were servants in the household. And so here's what Jesus is doing. He is taking the nature of a servant. He is humbling himself. He is showing us what humility looks like. In other words, he's showing us that even though I am God incarnate, I am the second person in the Trinity, I am the Son of God, even though I am your teacher and your rabbi, I am going to show you what humility looks like. I'm going to take away this outer garment of clothing. I'm going to take away those things that prop me up, that show me, that show the world that quote unquote, I'm important. He says, I'm going to take all those things off to show you a lesson in honor and how humility must come with honor. In other words, he's saying that in order to honor people, it starts with you humbling yourself. That's what Jesus is showing us here. He's taking the nature of a slave, a servant in this day and context. The only people who would do this were household servants. And oftentimes what would happen was whenever somebody wealthy or somebody of prominent position was coming to a house, the slave or the servant, they would wash the feet of that person. But there ain't nobody on the surface here in this passage that's wealthy and prominent other than maybe Judas because he was stealing the money. That's a whole nother point that I'm going to talk about in a moment. But Jesus, he humbles himself. He shows us what humility looks like. He teaches us that honor requires us to be humble, that honoring is about humility. Here's what humility is. One writer said it like this, and I love it. He says, it is the personal quality of being free from arrogance and pride and having an accurate estimate of one's worth. I love that. Being free from arrogance and pride and having an accurate estimate of one's worth. Why is this so profound? Because remember in verses 3-4, notice what John records. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So because he knew that, he got up and humbled himself. What's the point that he's teaching us here? When you know who you are in God, you don't have to prove yourself to other people of who you are. It's easier for you to humble yourself. So he shows us that humility is attached to identity. That when I know who I am in Christ, when I know who I am in God, it's easier for me to be able to humble myself and to extend honor to others. Notice here, y'all, the Bible says that Jesus knew that all things were under his power, that the Father had put everything into his hands. In other words, he has all power. He has everything under his control. But notice what he does. Even though he has all power, he picks up a towel and a bucket. He has all power in his hands, but he picks up a towel and a bucket. He could have flexed on the disciples to show them, hey, y'all, look at me. I'm that dude. And he would be right, because he is that dude. He created everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was talking about Jesus. But in the midst of him being God incarnate, in the midst of him being God, he doesn't flex. He humbles himself. Because honor is about humility. And notice what the Bible says here. It is very descriptive in the fact that it says that he takes away his outer garment of clothing, he took a towel and he tied it around himself. What is he showing us here? Jesus strips away his outer clothing to be able to extend honor to this world. Here's the principle and the practical aspect of this. He's showing us that in order for us to honor others the way we're supposed to, we have to strip away those things that get in the way of us extending honor. That's what he's teaching us here. In other words, you gotta strip away pride. You have to strip away arrogance. You have to strip away bitterness. You have to strip away your political opinions. You have to strip away your stereotypes that you have of people. You need to strip away everything that gets in the way of you being able to honor people. That's what he's telling us here. Why is this so important? Because oftentimes what we'll do is we will continue to harbor all these things in our hearts and in our attitudes, and that gets in the way of what God wants us to do and being able to extend honor to people. So we can't live lives of honor because we're too full of ourselves. And he says, I want you to strip away those things that get in the way of you being able to extend honor. I want you to humble yourself. I want you to, in the words of the great philosopher Kendrick Lamar, I want you to sit down and be humble. Tell the person beside you, sit down, be humble. I want you to humble yourself. You didn't think you were going to come to church and hear a lyric from Kendrick Lamar. I'm an expositor not just of scripture, but of culture as well. You got to humble yourself. That honoring is about humility, but honor is also about activity. It's not enough just to have honor in your heart. You need to extend honor through what you do. It's not enough just to say, I love you. You need to show me that. Right? Some of us in relationship with people, I love you, but you don't show me that. Right? Honor is about not just humility, it's also about activity. It is about serving others. In other words, as I've humbled myself, the next response is to let that shape how I treat people. Jesus didn't just humble himself and show us what humility looks like. He got down on the ground and washed his disciples' feet. That's activity. Honor is about activity. There is action. In other words, let me say it like this, that we show honor in our communication and in our conduct. And what we say, and also in what we do. Here's what Paul would say in Ephesians 4. No foul language. Oh boy, that's a sermon unto itself. No foul language should come from your mouth. I didn't make that up. The Bible said that. So it's not just profanity. But it's also words that are toxic. No foul language should come from your mouth. But only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Notice what verse 31 says. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander, watch what he says, be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. I'm going to stop right there. He says, remove all of these toxic things that get in the way of you extending honor to one another. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the pride. Get rid of the stereotypes. Get rid of the politics. Get rid of the opinions. Get rid of the views. Anything that does not edify, remove it. He says, strip it away. And in our culture today, we gossip. We talk bad. We tear down, and none of these things are honoring to God or honoring to people. It always blows my mind how we can say, I love God with all of my heart, but yet cuss people out. I don't understand how that works. I'm not throwing shade and judging us, but it's no congruency here that we can't say, God, I just love you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then just drop F-bombs on people when we go to work tomorrow. Hold on. Wait a minute. Because people will not go off of what I proclaim to know. They will go based on what I do. I hope this is making sense. And that is the reason why our country is in such uproar, especially when it comes to evangelicals and when it comes to Christians. Because you have so many Christians who claim to know Jesus, who claim to have relationship, but don't know how to extend love and mercy. How can you say you've received mercy when you can't extend it? He's talking about honor. Paul says, remove these things. Remove the smile in people's face, but talk bad about them behind their backs. You know what I'm talking about. You know how, like, when you walk up on people, and you know what I'm saying, and they're kind of whispering, and they don't want you to know what they're talking about because they're really talking about you. And then all of a sudden, they just kind of change the topic. That's dishonor. Because let me say it like this, if you have an issue with somebody, you don't go talk to other people about the issue that you have with somebody, because now that brings somebody into the equation that had no business being there in the first place. Now you're sowing discord and division. That's not honor. There's nothing about that that's honoring. God says, I want you to humble yourself, and I want you now to extend honor through your conduct and through the things that you do. Be compassionate towards one another. Forgive one another, pray for one another, serve one another. That's the way in which we are to honor. We are to speak well of people. We are to do kind things for people. This is why we're doing Military Appreciation Sunday next week. This is also why we're being intentional with serving our community during the Thanksgiving holiday, because all of these things are honoring unto God and they're honoring people. We do all these things. We serve people. And so instead of choosing to dishonor like culture does so well, we choose to honor. We choose to honor. We honor in tangible ways. We honor by serving others. That's what Jesus does here. He humbles himself. He shows us a picture of humility. And he washes these nasty feet. Like, and y'all in here, most of y'all in here looking at me like, oh, that won't no big deal. Are you kidding me? You wouldn't dare touch these feet. You don't even like to look at your own feet. And now to wash the feet of some people that you're not, like, married to, that smell, that's not your own, that stink, that have walked all these dirt roads. Jesus models what honor looks like, because honor sometimes means doing things that are unconventional and doing things that are countercultural, doing things that are uncomfortable, doing things that are not popular, doing things that appear to be nasty, going the extra mile. That's what honor is about. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just teach us the way we are to honor in this passage, but he also now teaches us the people we are to honor. When you look at this passage, it says that he washed his disciples' feet. He washed his disciples' feet. And in verse 12, it says this, when Jesus had washed their feet, meaning all of their feet, all of their feet. Somebody say all. Why is this so important? Because it's easy for you just to overlook the fact that Jesus washed every single one of their feet. He is not selective in whose feet he washes. In other words, he's not selective with who he shows honor to. He extends honor to all people. He extends honor to all of his disciples. Why is this so important? Because it is only a few hours later while all his disciples turn their back on him. One dude who said, Jesus, I'm ride or die. Bad boys for life. Bad boys 3, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence. Peter, dude said, yo, Jesus, I'm with you. Everybody else, they're going to fall back. I'm with you, bro. And Jesus is like, no. Surely you would have denied me 3 times by the time the rooster crows. No, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's exactly what happens. He even washes the feet of the one that he knew would deny him 3 times. He even washes the feet of the one who would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. What does this show us here? That Jesus is not selective in who he shows honor to. What is he teaching us? That we are not to be selective in who we extend honor to. That we show honor to all people. Who are we going to honor? Everybody. Everybody. Let the church say everybody. Everybody. Not just a few people. Not just people that you like. Not just people that you agree with. Not just people that you see eye to eye with. You show honor to everybody. But Pastor, I don't like that. I don't like that. You don't know what they did to me. I know. But Jesus does, and yet he still tells you to honor. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says. Honor everyone. Case closed. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 2, 17. Honor everyone. Love the brothers and sisters. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Oh, let me exegete that just for a second. Honor the emperor? In this first century context, that was more than likely Emperor Nero, who was one of the most ruthless emperors in Rome during that time, where they would kill Christians for sport, and yet Peter has the nerve and audacity to say, even honor him. This is big boy Christianity. This ain't that light stuff. Why? What? Really? Honor even him? Yes, honor him. Why? I'll get into that in a moment. Honor. Honor everyone. Here's what Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. I like this next part. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. So it's like, oh, let me get the door for you. No, let me get the door for you. Oh, let me do it. I'm going to do it. It's like, oh my gosh, you weirdos. But that's what honor looks like. Because we're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about others. We honor. And we honor people, whether we see eye to eye with them or not. Honor is inclusive, not exclusive. Honor is extended to everybody. We honor people close to us, and we honor people who are not close to us. We honor people who may vote like you. We honor people who may not vote like you. We honor people that share the same interests as us. We honor people who don't share the same interests as us. We honor people who love Jesus. We honor people who don't love Jesus. This means honor is to respect. So we respect people no matter who they are, no matter what their color is, no matter what their creed is, no matter what their affiliation is, no matter what their past is, no matter what their background is, no matter what they've done, no matter what they've come from, no matter where they are, we extend honor and respect to people. That's what the Bible teaches us. And that's what Jesus shows us here. He washes the feet of every last one of those disciples. Every last one of them. He washes their feet. We honor people no matter what. Let me say it like this, that if you're only able to honor people that you agree with and that you like, that's not called honor. That's called favoritism. That's not biblical. Not one bit. That's not love. Love does not put a premium on who it's going to extend itself to. Because that's not what God did for us. We honor all people. And just because someone said or did something that was not good or you did not like does not give you a right to dishonor them. I know I wouldn't get a whole lot of amens today. Because this means you got to go to your work and show honor to people who you may sometimes feel like are not worthy of it. This means that you have to extend honor to people in your family or in your circle that you feel like have done nothing worthy to deserve it. You are called to honor. We are called to honor. We will be a church that honors people. We will be a church that honors all people. We don't pick and choose who we will show honor to. You can disagree with someone and still honor them. Our culture doesn't know how to do that. Because in our culture, we disagree with them and we dishonor them. That we think that in order for me to disagree with you, that means I got to dishonor you too. My kids don't do 75% of the stuff that I agree with. Before it was 80, now it's 75. They're making progress. But just because I don't agree with them doesn't mean I dishonor them. Just because you run up and down the house all day long and I tell you to stop running all day long doesn't mean I'm going to dishonor you. That doesn't give me a right to do that. I honor all people, even if I don't agree with them. I like what Pastor Brian Loritz says. He says this: we have to stop letting Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN disciple us more than Jesus. Because what media is teaching us is if they don't agree with you, and the culture teaches us if they don't agree with you, cut them off, dishonor them, talk bad about them, bash them. And that is probably most potent right now in the time of some midterm elections. If you ever want to see how people hate each other, just go on a thread for like CNN or Fox News. Go look in the comment section, and for 3 seconds, you will be sick to your stomach. You have to turn it off because you will see the hate. You see it in your life. You see it in your neighborhood. You see it on your job. But God has called us to be salt and light, that in the midst of people throwing shade at one another, in the midst of people throwing stones at one another, that we would be people who build bridges and stand in the gap and show people what honor looks like. We choose to honor. And I'll say this, that the true test of your Christian maturity is not how you treat people you agree with, but it's how you treat people you don't agree with. That's the true test of your maturity. Can you still smile? Can you still pray? Can you still love them even though you don't see eye to eye? That's true love. That's true maturity. Every single person is of great value and worth to God. And to not honor people is to not honor God. Here's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother and his sister. In other words, the one who claims to honor God must also honor his brother and sister. That's what honor looks like. That's what love looks like. I know this is not an easy message to process and digest. But if we want to be the church, if we want to be salt and light, if we want to actually make a difference in our communities and in our world, it starts with us honoring God's word and aligning ourselves with the way that he wants us to live, which is to honor others. So I honor you whether I agree with you or not. I honor you if I do agree with you. I show you respect. You're going to put some respect on their name. Respect them. You don't have to agree with it, but you got to respect it. I always get in these sports debates, you know, when people are talking about Tom Brady. Oh, he's not the GOAT, this, that, and the third, and, you know, there's all these other quarterbacks that's better than him. I was like, listen, you ain't got to like them. You ain't got to like the Patriots. But you got to respect these boys. They got 5 chips. How many does your team got in the past 5 years? You got to respect them. I know that's very light and trite, but the principle is this. You got to respect whether you realize it or not. You got to respect people whether you like them or not. You are in a cubicle with some people that you don't like right now. You got to respect them. Stop praying to ask God, can you just move me so I got to deal with this person? Nope, I'm going to keep you right there. I believe that God is sitting in heaven. Nope, 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 no. Mm-mm. Because I want to teach you what honor and respect looks like. You want me to give you a leadership position on your job, but you can't even respect your own peers? How will you treat your employees? Respect. Honor. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. He washes all the disciples' feet. And most of us, we would have checked out at Peter. Oh, you going to deny me? I ain't washing your feet, bro. You would have never even got to Judas. Let's be real. Come on, let's keep it 100. Don't be looking at me with all these spiritual eyes. I would have. No, you wouldn't have. You would not. Because you do it all the time in your life. The minute somebody talks bad about you, you cut them off. You take it personally. I'm trying to grow us to a deeper place of salvation and maturity in Jesus, where we can do what Jesus did. We honor people. So when you go to the polls this weekend, you're voting. Who cares if they vote different than you? Let me help you understand something. It don't matter who's in the White House. You realize that Jesus is on the throne. Amen. You realize that. And the reason why our country is so divided is because we have propped up all these images in our society instead of the one who matters the most, which is Jesus. If we would lift up the name of Jesus, then all people would be drawn unto him. That's what we're called to do. He says, I want you to show honor, and I want you to show honor to everybody. I want you to honor every single person. I want you to honor your neighbors. Love your neighbor as yourself. You remember that? That means neighbors that look like you, that don't look like you, that talk like you, that don't talk like you, I want you to honor them. That's what it's about. I want you to honor all people. And I believe that when our church is a church of honor, man, people will be drawn to that. Because now what happens is we value them the way God does. He created them in his likeness and in his image. And now we treat them as such. I've had so many conversations with people who aren't Christians, but were surprised that I treated them with respect because the people that they come in contact with who are Christians just absolutely tore them down because they weren't a Christian. I'll talk to people who wrestle with their sexuality, people who may be gay and struggling with things like that, and they found that I was a Christian. They were like, man, I wasn't expecting you to be so nice to me because all the Christians that know about me, they always talk about I'm going straight to hell and that God doesn't love me. He doesn't have a plan and a purpose for my life, but you function a little different. Do you not realize that this is what the currency that Jesus used back in his time? This is how people left their sinful lifestyle and came to repentance, was because he treated everybody with honor. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, while the people tried to dishonor her, Jesus extends honor to her. He didn't excuse her sin, but he lifted up her identity. That's honor. That is what we're called to do. We're called to be a people of honor. You may be asking yourself the question, so why are we supposed to do this? Like, this sounds good. You gave this great doctoral thesis on how and who, but why? And the why is the most important, because if you don't have a compelling why, you would never do the what. So why are we supposed to honor? Jesus tells us this in verses 12 through 15. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on their outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightfully, since that is what I am. Watch verse 14. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. This is the reason we honor. Not because it sounds good, not because it gets a lot of likes on social media, but because Jesus has honored us, because Jesus has served us, even though we did not deserve it, we didn't earn it, we're not good enough for it, he still served us. And it's genius that he must do this and say this, because you could wiggle your way out of if it was for any other reason, but you can't wiggle your way out of honoring people when it was Jesus who initiated that in your own life, because you didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve it. We were Peter and Judas in this story, but yet he still served us. How did he do this for us? Obviously, he didn't wash our feet. This was a metaphorical, symbolic representation of what he would do on the cross. That he goes to the cross and he sheds his blood on the cross, cleansing us of our sin and of our iniquity. This is him honoring us. He took us from a place of shame and has now crowned us with honor through his life, through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. And he says, I have honored you with this. I've given you this example. And I want you to do the same. Here's what he says in John 13. I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another, because it's by this that everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I love that. He says, people won't know that you're my disciples based upon how you vote. People won't know that you're my disciples based upon how many scriptures you know. People won't know that you're my disciples based upon what neighborhood you live in, how much money is in your bank account, how many friends and followers you have on social media. People would know that you are my disciples and my followers based upon how you love and honor people. That's it. That's how people will be able to tell that you are part of me, based upon how you honor others. In other words, Jesus is the motivation behind everything that we do. We do this because he loves us. We love because he first loved us. And refusing to honor others by serving them is to place yourself above Jesus. It's to say that I know more than Jesus. It's to say that I'm better than Jesus. But we're called to honor because Jesus honored us. So now you may be thinking, so okay, what do I do with this? How does this look in my life? What am I supposed to do? We're supposed to follow the example of Jesus. We follow the example of Jesus. We extend honor. We show mercy. We show grace. And I thought it would be so fitting for us to show what honor looks like and how we can serve and how we can bless and how we can honor people by being an example and a representation of what Jesus did. So I'm actually going to ask my friend Josh to come on up for a second, because I want to show us how we are supposed to honor people. That we don't honor people. Come on up here, bro. We don't honor people just with our words, but we actually honor with our deeds. That we don't just love with nice, eloquent sounding words, things like that, because anybody can talk a good game. But it takes something completely different to actually do it and to actually honor. So Jesus says, I'm going to show you guys how much I love y'all. I'm going to show you guys how much you guys are worth to me and how much I honor you. Go ahead and take your shoes off, bro. That no matter what you have done, no matter what your past is, no matter how you would treat me, this is what Jesus is saying to the disciples. I know you guys, Judas, I know, bro, you're about to betray me for 30 pieces. I already know. But I'm going to show you what honor looks like. I'm going to demonstrate to you what honor is about. And the Bible talks about how Jesus strips away his outer clothing, because once again, you got to remove things that get in the way of you being able to honor people. Like, you got to throw those things away, and you got to get rid of pride, and you got to get rid of arrogance, and you got to say, like, you know what, it's not about me. It's about me doing the will of God. It's about me serving others so that way people can come to know his love. The Bible says that Jesus strips away his outer clothing, as we just read, and he gets a towel, and he gets a bucket or a basin, and he begins to fill it with water, and the disciples begin to put their feet in the bucket and in the basin, and the Bible says that he just begins to pour water all on their feet. Showing them this is what it means to honor, where you're doing things that don't make sense on the surface, where you're going the extra mile, when you can roll up your sleeves and say, you know what, it's not about me. It's about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what it looks like to honor. And it looks weird, and it doesn't make sense, and it cuts right through the lies of culture. It cuts right through the pride of culture. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you guys this example of what it means to honor. And you can't be too full of yourself to where you can't humble yourself to do things that you didn't think you were going to do. I want you to sacrifice. I want you to humble yourself. I want you to go the extra mile. And I want you to do this for others. Why? Because I'm doing it for you. Jesus, creator of the world, God in flesh, takes the nature of a servant. It says, as I've done this for you, I want you to do this for others. I've given you this example. I've given you this pattern to follow. And I want you to do for others as I have done for you. So even there's going to be times in your life where you're not going to feel like honoring. There's some people right now in your life that have hurt you, that have talked bad about you, and you don't want to have anything to do with them. Jesus says, I want you to choose the better way. I want you to choose to honor them. Doesn't mean that you agree with everything that they did to you. But you've made a steadfast decision to say, I'm going to treat them with value and worth. I'm going to respect them. Because God has created them in his likeness and in his image. Jesus also died for them as well. So I'm going to honor. No matter what I feel like, no matter what I believe, I'm going to extend honor. And I believe that what some of us need to do today is we need to ask God to do a work on our heart, where we ask him to heal these wounds in our heart so that way we can properly extend honor. In other words, we need to ask him to flood our hearts with his healing grace so that way we can extend that to other people. So we can begin to honor people. Some of us, you have not honored people in your life because of things that happened years ago. God is telling you, I want you to go build that bridge. I want you to tear down that wall, and I want you to build a bridge by honoring. And they may think you're weird at first. They may say, we haven't talked in years. But honor begins to change the culture of that. And you set a new precedent. And they may even ask you, why are you going the extra mile to do all of this? And the answer is simple. Because this is what Jesus has done for me. I honor you because Jesus honored me. We, as the Bridge Church, will be a people who honor. We will humble ourselves. We will take away pride. We will strip away bitterness, hate, remorse, anything that's in our hearts that would get in the way. We're going to take those things off so that way we can love and extend mercy. I stopped reading the scripture earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, where it talks about be compassionate to one another, forgive one another. And the last part of that verse says, forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave you. He's the motivation. He's the example. And it's because of him that we do for others what we do for others. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would be a people who honor, that we would be people who humble ourselves and say, it's not about me, but it's about others. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that we would remove those issues and those barriers in our hearts, that you would give us the strength to be able to do it, that would get in the way of us extending honor and grace to others. And we thank you, Jesus, for washing us clean of our sins, not because of us being worthy, but because you are worthy. Not because we're good, but because you are good. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that this morning, that we would be able to be a people who honor. In Jesus' name, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I've seen this illustration, I've seen and I've heard this thing about honor, but I realize that I don't have a relationship with Christ. I've yet to receive the honor that he wants to give me through his grace and through his mercy and making me a child of his family. And today I want that. I want to be a part of his family. I want to receive his love. I want to receive his grace. If that's you this morning, you're saying, I want a relationship with God. I want to be cleansed of my sin and I want to be cleansed of my iniquity. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose back to life so that I can have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the God who honors. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you made a decision and you just prayed that prayer, here's what I want you to do. There's a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. I want you to check that box that says I'm committing my life to Christ. And I want you to fill that card out and drop that in the bucket as we pass it around in a moment. We're going to worship God with our giving. But as we're in this moment of worship, we're going to honor God and remember the sacrifice of Jesus by taking communion. So our team is going to pass around communion cups for you to be able to partake in this. And so they're coming and they're going to be passing that down. But as they pass those around and pass those to you guys. Just a few things that I want to remind us of. If today you're like, man, this really did a work on the inside of me, and this God really just wrecked my heart. And today I want to take the next step. I want to become who he's called me to be. Right after service is done, you can be a part of Growth Track, a three-step process where you can find out more about what it means to be a follower of Christ and more about how you can use the gifts that he's given you to serve others. Amen. So as you get those cups in hand, the Bible says that Jesus gathered with his disciples in an upper room on the night in which he was betrayed. It was actually this scene right here that we just read. So not only were they having supper, but Jesus was serving. He was washing their feet. And the Bible says that he gathered with his disciples in this last moment where they all would be.